remain standing for the reading of God's word. Turn to that same neighbor and tell them God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Tell them what goes around comes around. That the glory of God is about to come full circle in your life. That God is not finished with you yet. That I declare blessing upon you and upon your sons and your daughters. I declare that the backslidden are coming home. I declare that the sick and those afflicted with cancer shall be whole. I declare today that health and welfare are coming to you and your home and your house. I declare today that God is about to turn it around in your life. I want to read to you as we prepare to go to Judges chapter 16. If you have your Bible, open it. If you have your phone, your electronic device, turn those to Judges 16. Before we get to verse 21, I want to read verse 1. Listen to the word of the Lord. One day, Samson went to the Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Verse 4, sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah who lived in the valley of Sorek. And then verse 21, then the Philistines took him and put his eyes out and brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze and fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. I try to take you through some things and get us to Samson in just a few moments. God, add anointing to your word. I pray, God, that somehow today someone's life would be transformed forever. I pray, God, that in the roller coaster of life, in the midst of circumstances that are up and down and up and down, that somehow, God, we would come full circle today back to you as our source of truth, our source of life, our source of deliverance, our source of hope. And that God, however extreme the circumstances may have been, that God, if we will turn back to you, you are with us and you will indeed restore our strength again. God, today I pray that everyone in this house that feels weak and anemic in their faith, their relationship, their walk with you, those that are battling addiction and affliction, those, God, that are battling temptation to the ultimate every day of their lives, I pray, God, that you would be the supreme source of strength and life in their bodies, their mind, and their soul, and that somehow, God, our allegiance to you will not waver in perilous times. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are two books that are critical to the Jewish faith. One is the Midrash, and one is the Torah. The Torah contains the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. The third addendum is the Talmud, the book of law, the book of culture, the book of protocol. But there is also a book not as celebrated or talked about, which is known as the Book of Legends. You may have read about it. You may have read the book itself. You can order it. You may have heard about it or read about it in more common, up-to-date spiritual literature. But this book is the written transcription of the oral tradition of the rabbis. 1,000 years of rabbis. Their firsthand testimonies of miracles that are not recorded in the scripture. In this book of legends, page 220, there is a story 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. So 1,000 years before there is a Savior, before our Lord is born, Jerusalem, which is the headquarters of the temple, it is facing a major drought. There is no water, there is no vegetation, no growth, no horticulture. There is no sign of life. What is amazing about Jerusalem is that it is the headquarters for worship. So in the headquarters for worship, there is no growth. And to add insult to injury, there is no prophet in the land. There is no fervor. There's no manifestation. There's just frustration in the lives of the people, in the lives of the people. But we see that in that day, there is a rising of a man by the name of Hony. His name is Hony. He is not a prophet. He is not a priest. He is just a man who has faith. And let me say this, God in the last day is raising up a people, raising up men and women that do not need titles in order to know their place in the kingdom of God. They may not be the pastor, they may not have a solo, they may not have a group that they lead, but they are thirsty for God more than they are thirsty for a position. They are desiring of a move of God that will shake the foundations of the world and see God manifested like he's never been seen or realized before in this very world. And it is that Hony recognizes that children are becoming, hear me today, disconnected from the church. We carry on with so much and we wonder why our children don't want the church. God, because the church has dried up. And there is no vegetation. There is no rain quenching the thirst. And Hony does something that is rather bizarre. 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, he goes to downtown Jerusalem while people are parched and dehydrated, lying in the streets, and he carries a 9-foot staff. Usually, this person is a shepherd. But Hony has no sheep. Sometimes when you have faith, you carry things that do not match where or what you currently are. You may be in a dry place, but you have water that you don't even know you have. And that water that you think you so desperately need, God is working and turning things over so that you can pour into other people. You begin to operate in a place of what you believe is getting ready to show up. Turn to your neighbor and tell them something is on the way. Tell them what you've been waiting for. God in his time is going to deliver. Somehow I just believe maybe, perhaps it is that God is working and that greater really is coming, not just to our church, but to this world, to my family, and to God's people. So watch this. He begins to walk in downtown Jerusalem, and he begins to proclaim the glory of the Lord. And he declares that God is faithful in a dry land, in a dry place. He makes a 360 and he does something strange. He begins to stand in the middle of that circle and he calls on God and he declares a mandate that, God, we are dry, and that, God, we are thirsty. But God, based on the truth of your word, I am declaring today, I am commanding in your holy name to send rain. Bring the rain. Bring revival. Bring renewal to God's people. And God, I will not leave until you bless me and you bless your people once again. I have faith that says you will send the rain. God, I know that you hear my voice. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you feel like you're standing inside the circle and everyone outside your circle is laughing and mocking and belittling you. Maybe you feel like you're standing inside your circle and that there are those outside that circle, they're not willing to join you. And perhaps it is that they are critical of you and you're facing some of the toughest criticisms in all of your life. But you know that God has called you to this particular circle for this particular time. They called him crazy, but to beat it all, history tells us that the skies grew dark and that it began to rain and that all of a sudden the showers began to pour down. And in no time, people came outside and they are singing and they are shouting and they are rejoicing and dancing. And folks that are all stuck up in church said, how dare you talk to God like that? How dare you put a mandate on God that you won't leave the circle? And he said, listen, you don't have to get in the circle with me. You don't have to put your own life at risk, but I will do it. Listen, I want to tell you, sometimes when God has called you to a circle, it's easier for others to stay on the outside. It's not always an easy thing. It's easy for others to criticize, and if we're not careful, we'll be pulled back toward those negative influences. But I came to speak over somebody, a family, a couple, a mom and a dad today. Stay inside your circle. Trust God, and God will deliver on his promise to your life. You see, it's not so much a mandate as it is a target. When I stepped inside, I gave God a target. I gave God something to aim at. And God, I'm standing in this circle, and I will not move until you send the rain. People are excited. People are moved by revival and renewal. They're expressive. But then Honi does something that shakes them up, messes with their mind. It is raining 1,000 years before Jesus comes. But Honi walks around that circle one more time. They are now ignoring him because people think that the work is finished. The worship has come, and God ought to be satisfied because we're happy that the drought is over. It is over. And so it is. While he is still walking, Honi gets in the center and he says, God, I did not call for just a minimum shower, but God, I believe that you're the God of overflow. And not only am I going to send revival, but I'm willing to send renewal. I will not bless you with the minimum, but I am ready to pour out overflow and abundance and blessing upon those who are willing to stay committed to what I have called you to. And when that happens, it's like the heavens open up. And some of you cannot get inside the circle because you're always satisfied with what's going on outside the circle.
Some of you cannot get inside the circle because you're always distracted by what's going on the outside of the circle. Some of you have got one foot in the circle and one foot out of the circle. You want the taste of revival, but you still love the taste of the world. And God said, I'm trying to honor you. And God said, I'm trying to bless you. And God said, I'm trying to send you divine revelation, but you want revelation of me, but you want revelation of the world at the same time. And God said, the only way that I can fully reveal myself to you is if you are willing to fully commit your way and your walk and your life to me.
There's a group at Summerton that's saying, God, this is not all that you have for us. We have a history. We have a tradition. We have a blessing. I feel like we've come full circle, God. But there's a group of people that say we are not satisfied with what happened 30 years ago or 90 years ago or almost 100 years ago for our great church. But God, I am looking for the sound of an abundance of rain. God, I am looking more for than just a cloud the size of a hair. But God, I am looking for the outpouring and the power and the glory that only comes from those and for those who are hungry for you. The rain, those that are willing to say, God, I am looking for pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so it is. People get excited. They're expressive. The rain came. It seemed like until children started floating down the street, the rain began to fill open basins. Overflow had come. So while they are celebrating and buckets and wells are being filled, Honey does something even more unusual. He walks the circle a third time. And he said, God, this time I'm not calling for water. I'm not calling for rain. But I'm standing in the center. And this time I am here because I want anointing on your people. Somebody in this room knows that I'm not talking to God about material stuff, but Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. I'm talking about at those unusual times, at 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning when you weren't expecting it. I'm talking about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday when you're tired and it's been a long morning and a long afternoon, but suddenly there is this freshness and wholeness in your spirit where God begins to speak and you're overwhelmed and the tears begin to flow and the power of the Holy Spirit begins to speak through you and you say, God, I never saw that coming. And God said, I'm trying my best to pour out overflow on my people and on my church. Did you know that history tells us that the temperature of the water changed? That it went from cold to 72 degrees. It was no longer a downpour, it is an outpour. It went from the skin down to the soul. God has given me an assignment. Though it may seem like drought in your land, in your heart, in your soul, God is saying, stay in your circle, like you believe by faith that every person that is broke, struggling, needs a house, needs a home, needs an opportunity to say, God, send the rain. If you believe that God will do it this morning, I need you to lift up your hand, to open up your mouth toward heaven and praise Him like the rain is indeed falling. Pastor, why are you walking again? Pastor, why are you wasting your time walking around a hula hoop on Sunday morning? Because I believe this,
I believe that the first year has been a good year. And I believe that the history of this church is a grand history. But I believe I have known all of my life that God is not limited to yesterday or today, but He is also God of tomorrow. And if He blessed me then, Miss Sarah, He will bless me now. And if He is blessing me now, He is setting me up for greater blessing that is to come. All circumstances are not easy, and all circumstances are not what I would like for them to be, but I know the God that sits on the throne of heaven, and He is faithful and He does not fail, and He has greater for those who will believe and trust in Him. I believe that God has more than enough for His people. If you know that today, if you believe it, would you lift your hands one more time and praise Him in this house? God, I need an overflow in my life. I need an outpouring in my life. I'm tired of the same old. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of my family being afflicted. I'm tired of my home being attacked. God, speak, Holy Spirit. Speak to Him this morning. Cry out to Him this morning. God, I believe that God is giving us a target. He's giving us a place to be blessed. There's a fresh anointing. If you need God to touch you today, if you would say, Pastor, I've been through Easter, I've been through Resurrection Sunday, I've been through the same old again and again, but I need God to touch me right where I am. Would somebody stand up in this house and just turn in a circle right where you are right now? If you need God to touch you that way, would you just stand up and would you turn in a circle right where you are and be reminded that God is working all things together for your good. He's turning it even now. You are not in a cycle, you are in a circle. That's why we wear a wedding ring. It cannot be broken. I don't know about you, but I need some people, Tanya, inside my circle. Come here and help me, Paul. Come right over here. I need some people in my circle. It's small, but we can do it. Get in there. And three or four more. Now, put that other foot outside. I love a lot of people. I care about a lot of people. But I really don't need people in my circle that's only willing to invest a part of who they are in my friendship, in my shepherdship, in my life. But I need somebody who's willing. If they're going to get in, I need them to get all the way in. Amen? I need them to get in, and I need them to stay in. Because ultimately, they are doing more damage than good if they've got one foot out and one foot in. But if we, listen, if we can not only do that with one another and our personal families, but if we can do that as a church, it is unlimited to what God will do in His family in Summerton if we will get in together. There's a young man by the name of Samson. He is called while he is still in his mother's womb. He is destined for greatness. He has anointing, but listen, he does not have alignment. His whole life, he operates in the anointing and the power of God. But in his flesh, he is constantly dissatisfied. I'm speaking to someone this morning. Listen. And many of us, we have misunderstood Samson because all we do is marvel at his strength without doing a full diagnostic of his life. And it is my responsibility, I believe this today, I felt the anointing of God this week, the power of God this week, that I am to download this into you, into us. Watch this man's frustration. He doesn't need a job. He doesn't need a home. A mother and a father that love him and care for him. Yet he is anointed. But somehow in all of this, he has missed the circle and he feels unloved. I may be speaking to people this morning. You know the hand of God is upon your life. The call of God is upon your life. But you feel that nobody loves you. And it is that superficial believers know how to quote scripture. Superficial believers know how to call down fire. But you feel like you are in this thing all by yourself. All I want to know is, does anyone really love me? Does anyone care? Can I tell you, in all my years of service, pastoring, student pastoring, that I've had those moments when I went home from a Katie Bar the Door service on a Sunday morning, and I felt like the loneliest person in the world. Maybe that doesn't happen to you. Maybe you never feel that way. Maybe you never sense those things in your own life. But I felt like, God, I feel that I'm all by myself. Samson is engaged, but the marriage is called off. He comes back from out of town and he finds that his homeboy has been messing with his girl. He is dealing with the pain of his own friend backstabbing him, and it is not easy at all. Pastor, those things don't happen to me. I'm anointed. I don't ever feel like I'm not measuring. I'm anointed. I felt the power of God. Can I talk to just 8 or 12? The rest of you don't have to pay attention, but 8 or 12 this morning that know what I... So even with his anointing, he doesn't find anyone in his home church that he wants to be with. He can't find a girl. His mother is frustrated. You can't find anyone in this church. Samson says, I don't want anybody at Summerton. I'm going to Sorek. There are times in our lives we're always looking for what seemingly is right in front of our face. Listen to me. His anointing, believe it or not, his anointing begins to wither when he begins to lower his dating standard. He begins to settle. He makes himself vulnerable. They treat you well. They treat you with respect. But the anointing on your life requires something more. Maybe it's something that no one else will ever really understand, but you know what it takes for you, Tanya, to be in the circle. Caleb, you know what it is for you to be in the circle. I'm speaking to some people this morning, Mark Brasher, you know what it is to have one foot out and one foot in, and you know when the turning point came, and whether a pastor ever carried the staff or not, God called you to carry the staff, and God called you to minister to others, and God called you to invest everything that you got. I'm speaking to folks today. You're 58 and you're 75 and you're invested in the circle as long as you like what's going on in the circle. I'll get in that circle because everything I like is in that circle. God said, I've called you to this place inside the circle so that somehow you can get it past the thickness of your own mind to reach those that are outside the circle. God, I pray right now. Whoever and whatever it is they're going through, whatever the mix-up or the mess-up, whatever the temptation, whatever is pulling again and again the draw from the call that you have placed on their life, I pray, God, that you would interrupt them right now. I pray, God, right now, that you would speak to their heart, that soul, that mind. And right now, God, that there would be a change that is everlasting, a change. Will you lift your hands and will you pray right now? I pray for everything that blocks the presence of God. I pray for every hindrance. I pray, God. People who don't know your call, they don't understand why you broke it off. People that don't understand the anointing of God upon your life, they don't know that you couldn't settle. And you look like the bad guy. It seems like they gave you everything you wanted, took you everywhere you wanted to go, but you don't understand. I'm destined for the circle. I was made for the circle. Not everybody will go where you need to go. Quickly, and I'll move through this. I need someone in my life that can help feed my anointing. I need a church board that will stand in a circle with me. Brian, stand in the circle. Jeremy, stand in the circle. I need a staff. I need somebody that will get in the circle with me and that will believe God with me. We don't have to have the same personality. We don't have to like the same things in this life. We don't have to have all the same common interest. But if we're going to do the work of God together, we've got to be in the circle together. We've got to work. He should never have to doubt whether I have his back or not. He needs to know whether we're in the circle and whoever may be outside the circle, that I've got his back and that he's got my back. When it comes to leadership and a board, I need to know that I've got, they need to know that I've got their back, and I need to know that they've got my back. And that doesn't mean whispering little things here and there when we get a little dissatisfied and we don't see things eye to eye. It means if we're in the circle, we're in the circle, and we're staying in the circle. I'm so tired of what the church represents and misrepresents. Year in and year out, I've seen it again and again, and we justify it as concern. And God said, no, it's gossip. And as long as you're critical with a mean spirit, you will never make it inside the circle. It will always be one foot in and one foot out. God, I love you, but I love lust. God, I love you, but I love money. God, I love you. Fortune doesn't control me, but you're already controlled and don't know it. Listen. Samson starts messing with prostitutes. And if we're not careful, we start sticking our nose up in the air. Samson is anointed, but listen to what I'm saying. He'll pay anything for affection. And when it comes to affection, it's not just an arm around the shoulder or the waist. It's not just the batting of the eye by a pretty girl or a handsome man. But sometimes that affection comes in the form of just wanting people to hear us. Just somebody listen to what I'm saying. And if I'm critical, maybe they'll be critical too. Just. And we'll pay any price for affection. For some, just to feel like somebody cares about us. And I want to tell you today, I know you wrestle with that because I wrestle with that too. We all want to be loved. We all want to be cared for. What price will you put on your character just to feel valuable? What price to prostitute your gift acting normal? Just so you can, God, I just want someone to feel like I'm normal. Sometimes the price to pay to get inside the circle is far more than normal. You may not always look or sound normal to everyone around you. I gave up on that a long time ago. There's no one in this house that wants to be more accepted than me. I want to be loved. I want people to care. I want to love others. I want to feel like I've got a place past this pulpit. I love to go to eat with you. I love to participate in your ball games. I want to be your friend. I'm not just a pastor. I want you to know that I care and I'm invested. But there is no price that I can put on the anointing. There is no price that I can put on what is valuable to God. And sometimes the price, Pastor Sergeant, to be inside the circle is greater than we want to pay. And if God didn't call you to that, don't worry about paying that price. But if God called you to it, don't let anyone talk you out of it. Amen. He's now with people whose intentions for him are no good. They played him before, and yet he stays there. Whenever God is trying to separate you from somebody, he always gives you a sign. I don't know, maybe I'm speaking to someone here. Maybe it's a daughter, it's a son, but they're connected in a relationship that is not profitable. And you know that God is giving a sign. Don't let the enemy talk you out of that. Because sometimes God gives us that sign, and it's up to you or not, whether you run that red light or you go right through it and risk getting yourself beaten up again and again and again. Selfishness will never step inside the circle with you. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that some people are with you for 4 months. That's an easy connect. But you give them 4 years and let's see if they've still got both feet inside the circle. Give them 6 years. Give them 10 years. When the new fades off, I've been joking with some guys this week. They said, well, the first year's up now. Don't make me mad. You know, that kind of thing. Some people are willing to, the 4 months are easy. But what about when the 4 years and the 10 years? What about 19 years, Pastor Sergeant? People who had both feet in the first five, that was easy. But what about when? God said, I need some people to be real honest. You gave me a sign. God, I didn't pay attention. Gave me a sign. God, I just ignored you and I'm sorry. Would you lift your hands toward heaven this morning? No one's embarrassed. You're saying, God, I went right through it and I should have listened. If that's you, just confess it to him right now. God, I went right through it and I need you to touch me. Oh, God doesn't work that way. Yeah, God says sometimes you stayed too long. And Delilah asked him a critical question. She plays him and she said, what is the source of your strength? I'm just being deliberate this morning. I want to. People marvel at your strength. Demons are attracted to you. They understand your strength and your call better than you do. They know that the favor of God is on your life and they're trying to sap it out of you. Some think you are aloof, but you know that you've been in the presence of God. There are some people you will never take into the circle of anointing. But you can take a licking and keep on ticking. They don't know how much you are holding in. Listen, when you had every right to go off,
speaking to anybody today, that you were as angry as you could be, you felt like you were justified. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the circle has to be bigger than your need to explode. Because everyone in this room have had times and seasons when you could have went off on somebody that you're married to. Your children. You could have just lost it in the church on the right side and on the left side. I could have let them have it. But the circle has to be bigger than our need to tell somebody off. Bigger than our need to justify ourselves and prove somebody else wrong. Our circle has to be bigger than our petty causes. It has to be filled with the anointing and the power of God, and we realize that the greatest need of the church is that we are unified, that we are one, and that we are in this together forever and for always. Stand with me this morning. Samson said, the secret is my hair. If you cut my hair, it separates me from his glory. But I have made up my mind that whatever I do, I will not cut myself from his favor on my life. And I really hadn't planned to go in this direction, this particular way, but maybe I'm speaking to an individual that you're wrestling with your dating life, and you're wrestling with that pull toward an individual that you know will separate you from God's glory. And the question is, not how badly do you want that individual, but how badly do you want the circle? God said, if you keep going down this path, if you keep investing in this relationship, things that are unnecessary, unnecessary evil waits at the door. And just like Samson, it will gouge out your spiritual eyes. Why would they take Samson's eyes when they already have his hair? Because they feel like if they can get his vision, they can keep him from moving forward. And in reality, they should have executed or crucified Samson. But instead they do something that blew my mind that I've not ever seen in this story. And I've read it all. I've been taught all my days in Sunday school. You may have seen it. It just may be me that missed it. But they take Samson down to the mill house. He can't see. His hair is cut. He has no strength. Super strength. And they said, Samson, all we need you to do is grind this meal. All we need you to do is do the work of a slave. They had no idea they were making the greatest mistake they would ever make. Because in order to grind, Samson has to get into the vat. And they put his hands on a wheel. And when he begins to grind, he grinds in the path of a circle. And while he is grinding, he starts to talk to God. And he said, God, I've been outside.
for so long. God, if you'll touch me, everything in my power and yours, I promise I'll stay inside this circle of anointing. God, if you'll touch me one more time with your strength and your power and your glory, I don't even care about my old life. I'll bring this temple down and I'll take the enemy out with me. Listen. Samson enters into this agreement with God. And I want you to hear what he is saying. And I want you, I don't care what age you are, how long you've been in the church, I want you to ask yourself this question. God, if I never get the girl I want, if I never get the job I want, if I never have the money I want, my greatest joy, my greatest joy is to serve you. Can you do that today? What if you never get what it is you think you've got to have? But God, that regardless of hell or high water, whatever comes my way, nothing will pull me out of this circle. What you've called me to, I'll fulfill. I don't know. May not be anybody in the house, but you would say, Pastor, I believe you love me. I believe you told me the truth. If I need anything, I need the circle one more time in my life. There it is. Will you stand in it? Anyone here today that would say, Pastor, I'll get back in the circle. Will you just pray for me? I'm willing to stand in the circle and let God do what he wants to do in my life, whatever it costs me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God, my life is your life. And this is the day I come full circle. I come back to you with all my heart, my soul, and most of all, the call that you have put on my life, that nothing will get between me and your favor on my life. This altar is open. If you need to talk to him today, will you come? You don't have to stand in a circle. You can just kneel at this altar. Thank God, more than anything in my life, I need to know that you're my first priority, that I'm walking in your will, that your favor on my life.
Nothing.
God said, everything you need to get back, he said, I'll give it to you. Everything the enemy stole, I'm willing to restore it if you'll come. Speaking to a mom and a dad today, everything. He said, I'm already in the process of giving it back to you. Just reach out and receive it. I need God to touch my family. I need God to save a daughter, save a cousin, a nephew, a mom, a dad. I need God to heal me. I need God to work a miracle on this Sunday in my life. Start talking to God right now. Tell him, God, I'm getting it all back. God, I take it all back right now in the name of Jesus. The joy that's been missing for 12 months, been missing for 5 years. God, whatever it is, the joy that's been missing, I'm taking it back. I'm tired of going to bed frustrated and getting up frustrated and going to work frustrated day in and day out. I'm tired, God, discouragement. I'm tired of depression. I'm tired of not feeling like I'm where I need to be with you in my life. Right now, God, I'm taking it all back in Jesus' name.